the OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Stephen Ward is with us now to talk to us about the performance and what the players are going to be going through and just the general sense of it. Stephen, before we ask you about what the players are going through at the moment, what was your analysis of the game? How did that happen?
Morning, lads. How are you doing? Listen, really disappointing game, obviously. A game that we would have expected to win, of course. I think over the last few days, reflecting on it, I think I've, seen and read a lot of, people's comments and stuff. And listen, the one thing I know from experience, and I think a lot of footballers will know, everyone's been on the end of these results, and, there's no one that will be hurting more than the players and staff themselves. So, really disappointed. I was absolutely gutted, everyone involved, because, I was desperate for them to get the win and sort of kickstart the campaign. And, I think everyone was in a state of shock, really. But, disappointing night. But I think, a lot has been said and the players will be really hurting. And, I've been there myself and it'll be a real somber few days for the lads, unfortunately.
Seamus Coleman was very critical of his teammates in the post-match interview that he did. He said that players weren't looking for the ball. And, it's hard. It's going to be hard for the rest of the dressing room to look him in the eye, because that was true. Certainly in the second half, when the game was in the melting pot, we did not have players who went looking for it.
I don't know about players won't be able to look him in the eye, so forth. I think Seamus has, came out and gave a great interview, honest and open, and he's captain, that's his job, and he leads by example. He led by example in both his performances, and the respect that the players have and the staff will have for Seamus, not only as a player but as a person in that whole camp, no one will disagree with him, and no one will feel any awkwardness around him, because Seamus is a brilliant captain for the country. And like I said, what he says, you listen to. And there's a lot of young lads in that dressing room, and they'll take heed of what he said, and I'm sure they'll want to improve themselves.
Have you seen that happen? Is that a natural product of a young team? Players not showing for the ball, players not having the confidence maybe to kind of make that run or to really get on the ball in a high-pressure situation?
It is difficult sometimes. A lot of the lads out there were very inexperienced at that level. But in saying that, we put in a fantastic performance in Serbia, and we were arguably unlucky not to come away with something. Especially, scoring two goals away from home. They scored a bit of a wonder goal, and you look at the incident as well. That really could have been given as well. Maybe on a day if there was VAR, we might have had a penalty as well and gone 2-1 up in the game. So. It's like I said, it's a very difficult time for the lads, for the team, and the young lads coming through, they'll learn from this experience. There's a lot of good senior heads in that camp, lads that obviously would have been very disappointed not to play, but are great characters around the place, and I'm sure they'll be rallying around the younger players and the sort of newer lads to international football and be keeping their chins up and telling them just to look forward, and hopefully this will be something that'll make them stronger going into the future games and the future campaigns.
What did you make of the system that was played, three at the back and wing-backs?
Well, I think it's difficult to sort of overanalyse the system because, Stephen's come in, he's trying to change the sort of blueprint of how we play. That's how he wanted us to play. We used it in Serbia. I've heard arguments maybe we should have had gone with four at the back, but we had enough in that game no matter what formation we played, I think, to win, and I think he would have thought that himself, and I think a lot of the lads that had played out in Serbia had deserved a chance to play again, so it was more or less the players fitting the system, I think. But I don't think that was a major factor in us not winning the game, because we had two strikers on the pitch, we had plenty of attacking prowess, but for whatever reason, it just didn't happen for the lads on the night, and it was really disappointing for them. And I was really gutted for everyone involved, because it was a game where we really needed to win, and it's going to be tough now for us to get back and qualify.
Well, I was just asking the question, basically, just from your own perspective as a fullback, like, is this getting the most out of Enda Stevens and Matt Doherty? I know you're right that no matter what the position, the the formation is. Ireland should get the job done against Luxembourg. But just on that specific point, is it holding those two players back in particular, or could they be doing more themselves?
Do you mean, would it be better if we played a four with them?
Yeah.
Four at the back with them. Well, for me, no. I feel like a lot of the games I've watched recently, it's been crying out for us to have them two in the positions that they know best. I think if you look at Matt Doherty, he's played his best football at wing-back, and then there's obviously played the majority of his in the same role at Sheffield United. So, you know, for me, I think that suits them, both them players. I think they can mostly play in a four, but I think if you look at recent times and how well they've both done in the Premier League, a lot of their good footballers come playing as a wing-back. So, no, I don't think that has hampered them or made them not as effective. I think, you know, it just wasn't to be our night, which is really unfortunate.
In terms of the actual players who did get picked, was there a case for starting Robbie Brady and Shane Long? Had they done enough recently to get into the team, or even Jeff Hendrick?
For me, listen, it's a different one. The manager's obviously, you know, he knows these players inside out. He sees them in training. But for me, I was surprised not to see a few, you know, more the likes of Jeff, Robbie, you know, Shane Duffy, James McLean, you know, Shane Long. It was a lot of experience that we had on the bench. But listen, the young lads have done well out in Serbia. You know, they've earned the right to, you know, play again. But yeah, you know, listen, in hindsight, you can always look at these things, but it was a surprise to me, yeah.
The value of experience on an occasion like that against Luxembourg, what is that? Like, on the field, what would we have seen that would have been different from those players, do you think, Stephen?
I think for me, it's just been there and done that, really. You know, if you look at the lads that we have in the squad, you know, they've sort of seen everything in international football, highs, lows, you know, low moments and really, really successful moments. So, yeah, listen, they still have an influence around the camp, but, you know, sometimes maybe it does help the younger lads if there's a couple of more of them experienced lads on the pitch just to sort of keep them going when things get tough. But like I said, it's all in hindsight. You know, Steve is a manager. He picks the team. He's trying to get his best team out there. I know he's very keen on players to be playing football, but, you know, there is also that argument that, you know, if these players that aren't playing maybe at Premier League clubs, if they're at Championship clubs, would they be playing every week? You know, of course they would. But, you know, in terms of this day and age and the year we've had in football, you know, there's been that many games, I suppose, you know, having that much practice is vital as well.
Yeah, in retrospect, like mixing the team up a little bit, because afterwards he said that some of the players had difficulty playing the two games back to back because they're not playing football. In retrospect, making more changes and freshening it up a little bit for some of those players for the Luxembourg game might have given you a bit more chance to bring a bit of energy and intensity to the performance.
Yeah, I think he maybe, you know, had considered maybe making a few more changes, but obviously a lot of the lads have done well over in Serbia and he probably, you know, felt that they deserved a chance as well. So, like I said, listen, it's a completely different outlook. If we win the game, you know, there's no questions asked. There's always going to be these questions asked when we lose a game like that. So, you know, it's something the manager will have to look at going forward. But I think in terms of the players, they know they'll be, you know, I know they'll be hurt and everyone knows they'll be hurt and they'll face a lot of criticism over the last few days. And all they can do now is really rally together because it's only them really in there that can change it. And, you know, I know the characters in there will be desperate to just win a game on Tuesday night and hopefully, you know, get us back into this group as best we can. We're going to need a couple of massive results, which, you know, as a country we've been capable of doing before, and hopefully, you know, fingers crossed we can do that again, even just to get ourselves competitive in the group again.
We played a clip of Stephen Kenny earlier on, and he was analysing the first half in particular. He said that the Luxembourg centre-backs and their forwards were only about 25 metres apart. Essentially, and then he went on to explain that he wanted our forwards to run in behind them to kind of stretch them and create a bit of space. When that's not happening, when the team aren't functioning the way they're supposed to be doing, is that because the players don't fully understand what the game plan is? Is that because they're so low on confidence that they can't trust making that run in behind because they don't think the ball's going to come? Like, I guess I'm asking, you know, we have to apportion some responsibility here. What's the share of responsibility that's the players, and what's the share of the manager not getting his vision for what he wants his forwards to do?
Well, I think the manager will have had a game plan, and you know, then it's up to the lads to go out and replicate that on the pitch. I think sometimes in games when players are short of confidence, I think if you watch any game of football, a team or a player that's low of confidence tends to come towards the ball rather than run long away from it because he wants to get a feel for the ball. And I think sometimes that was the case the other night. Everyone wanted a touch, everyone wanted to come towards the ball. And I think, you know, probably the first time we really ran in behind was, I think, when Robbie Brady got in the second half. And we created a decent chance to nearly get an opportunity in the box. So, yeah, listen, I think confidence plays a factor. But, you know, I think there's only so much the manager can do from the sideline once he's, you know, set his team out and how he wants to play. And I think I'm sure they would have worked on that before the game. And, you know, for whatever reason, it just didn't work out, whether there was miscommunication or, like I said, that lack of confidence. You know, it's obviously hard to know, really.
It sounds to me like you think that the plan was sound, that tactically you can't lay too much blame at the door of Stephen Kenny.
No, listen, I think everyone's going to take a portion of it. You know, he's come out and said himself. You know, I think, you know, from my point of view, obviously, people will say, obviously, I've worked with Stephen over the years when I was younger and because I know him. But for me, it's a difficult period for Ireland. I think, you know, I'm trying to look at it in terms of, you know, the whole scenario rather than just one game, because Stephen's been brought in. There was a massive sort of want to change the culture of Ireland football, Irish football, how we play. You know, he's tried to do that. Obviously, the results haven't been good enough. That, you know, it is a results-based business, so that the pressure is going to come. But there has been signs where the type of football we've wanted to play, you know, people have wanted us to play for years, has changed. He's trying to get that across. He's obviously had the COVID. You know, and I'm not trying to make excuses for him or anyone, but, you know, a rebuilding job is basically what he has. If you know, we're being honest, there's a lot of new players, a lot of new faces, and a rebuild job at a club level sometimes takes a period of time, and that's when you get to work with players day in, day out to get your points across. You know, with the way the world has been and the camps they've had, you know, 1-2 days to prepare for these games. It's not going to happen overnight, especially with, you know, looking like he wants to inject a lot of youth into the squad. So, listen, the result the other night, the lads will know themselves, no matter what formation, how they play. We've got better players. We're a better team. We should be beating the likes of Luxembourg. But I think on the whole of his time and the process, you know, you can see the change he's trying to make. It's what people have wanted in terms of the public, you know, and at the minute, we're not getting the results. It'd be a completely different situation if we had the public good results under our belt. And, you know, I'm trying to look at it from that kind of perspective, because I know when a new manager comes in, when a rebuild starts, and sometimes it can be difficult.
So, look, you have obviously a really interesting perspective on this as somebody who came from the League of Ireland and made it all the way to the Premier League and played 50 times for your country. So what do you think we should do? Because, like, we framed this as a battle for the soul of Irish football, where there is definitely a rump of people who are very reactionary and want us to go back and hire a big-name manager and put all of the FAI's money in the pockets of a big-name manager to try and fix this scenario, like, whoever it is, right? Or do we continue to invest and take our time and try and build towards something that has a vision for what the future should look like?
I think that's the big question now, isn't it? Because, like I said, a change in culture, a change whatever, it takes time. And football is results-based, and we want to qualify. We're a country that wants to qualify. Our fans deserve to qualify for every tournament, because, you know, the experience you get when you go as a player, when you know the Irish fans are there, is the best thing you'll ever experience. The players want to go. You know, but at the minute, it does happen to a lot of teams, a lot of countries. It is a rebuild phase, and there's no getting away from that. You know, that there is a lot of younger lads coming through, and, you know, it's not really the question for. I think the FA now have decided to give Stephen the job. He's come through the 21s, that's the vision they've gone for. And I think the next camp in September will really, you know, decisions will be made after that in terms of where we are after that, because if we've got no chance at all of qualifying, then I'm sure it'll be luck to getting these young lads in, giving them, you know, as much experience as we can, because we need them to be as strong as a squad and as a unit to go and qualify for the next tournament. So, you know, I think at the minute, listen, it's disappointing. There's a lot of, you know, afterthought after such a disappointing night. But I think September will tell us a lot. And I think if the FAI are backing Stephen to go and you know, change this culture and you know, in a way, it's sometimes, you know, what people want, it's not always as easy just to flick a switch and it changes like that. So I think after that, it'll either be, we restart and go with the young lads and get them experienced and get them ready for, you know, the next Euro campaign. Or it'll probably be, like you said, an experienced manager comes in and we revert to type a little bit.
Which would you prefer to play under?
I suppose nowadays, the way football is, everyone is playing this new sort of style, playing out from the back. For me, you know, I've played for, obviously, Burnley, where we had a successful way of playing. And obviously, in my time at Ireland, we had great success playing that way. It's such a difficult question. For me, everyone likes winning. People want to be part of success. People want to qualify. And for me, you know, you play the way you need to with your players to get the best out of it. At the minute, it's just not happening for us in that final third. You know, whether these players just need more experience at that level, that remains to be seen. But, you know, like I said, there have been real good signs in a lot of the games and a lot of the performances. It just seems to be that we can't get that vital goal at that vital time. So, at the minute, you just got to support Stephen, you know, in how he's doing it. You know, like I said, it's a difficult night the other night for him, difficult night for the squad. But if you know, the mantra when he came in was to change the culture, change the style and bring through a lot of sort of the youth, then, you know, you're going to have to give him patience and give him time. You know, if it's, you know, qualification now and having a real go, then I wouldn't be surprised if you see a lot of the more experienced boys come back into the team and you know, have a real go.
On that point that you make about the new style of football that maybe is going to be implemented, it's going to favour technically gifted players over other players in the Ireland setup. From what you've seen at all levels of Irish football, is there enough emphasis put on the technical aspects of football to ensure that these pathways are at least some bit in operation at the moment?
Yeah, there is. You know, obviously I'm doing my own coaching badges at the minute with the FAI, and I can see, you know, right through the ages of how we're doing the courses of how, you know, that new style has been implemented even at the sort of under 15, 16, 17 level. And I think that's the way, you know, if they want to do that within the first team, they've got to do it right the way through. And, you know, from what I've seen, it's all in place, you know, from under 21s right the way back. So, yeah, they are trying it. Like I said, it's not going to happen overnight. You know, it's a completely different way to the way we've been playing. I know a lot of players play that way at club level, but, you know, club level is a completely different game to when you come away playing international. So, listen, you know, from my experience of what I've seen with the FAI doing my own coaching, you know, that's the sort of format that all the youth team and all the younger sides are doing. And I think you've seen the rewards in that with when Stephen was in with the 21s. It's just now about giving the players in the first team, especially younger lads coming through, time to develop. You know, they're going to develop at the clubs, they're going to become better players, and it might just take a bit longer of a rebuild than maybe was anticipated.
So, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater just yet, but if things don't turn around, maybe we should look at being a bit more Burnley than trying to become Norwich.
Well, listen, like I said, it's going to depend on the FAI themselves, you know, what blueprint they want going forward. You know, obviously at the minute they're looking to move with sort of the way football is going. You know, but like I said, results are going to dictate that. And, you know, there was a lot of people delighted to see this new style of football come in. But when the results don't come, people turn quite quickly. And that is the problem. You know, it's international football and these tournaments don't wait around for anyone. So, you know, that's why it's such a difficult result the other night, because I don't think even after the games before that, I don't think anyone really seen it coming. I think everyone would have earmarked this game as being the one to kickstart the sort of the new era in the campaign, because although we hadn't won a game previous, there had been signs, and there were real signs in Serbia of, you know, things changing, scoring two goals away from home. And I think it's just, you know, a real setback that no one really expected. So, you know, I'm sure there'll be a lot of soul searching from Steve and the team, and everyone will, you know, be looking to improve, you know, come September.
I've one last question, Stephen. Have you been in a team where we've been so, where we've just gone through a period where we just can't score, where, like, we're missing really good chances a lot. I know we scored the two goals against Serbia, but that kind of, like, if you go back to the Slovakia game and the chances we had the other night, like, the confidence is so low.
Listen, I've played in teams, you know, throughout my career where there's times where the ball just doesn't go in for you, doesn't go in for you as a team, and the longer that run sort of goes, the more stuff seems to, you know, go against you. You know whether a team just defends unbelievably well, or, you know, a marginal offside rule, a penalty you could have had that wasn't given. So at the minute, you know, like I said, you look at the penalty in Serbia tonight, we aren't getting the rubber to green, you know, and everything just seems to be coming down against sort of Stephen and the squad. Listen, it's been the problem since you know, Robbie obviously left. You know, to replace a goal scorer like that is nigh on impossible, really. You know, we've obviously had some really good strikers, Johnny Walters, you know, Kevin Doyle's of this world, David McGoldrick was doing great at the time. And they're hard to replace as well. You know, there's not many John Walters around there who can just you know, come into a team. So, you know, a lot of these strikers are still playing their trade, you know, at club level, doing well, but still finding their feet a little bit. So, you know, it's going to take time. It's not just going to happen overnight. You know, I'm obviously with Troy Parra at Ipswich Town at the minute. He's on loan, you know, playing with myself. And, you know, he looks a real talent, you know, real appetite for the game. You know, as an eye for goal, you know, his work ethic is unbelievable and a really talented player. But he's 19 years of age. You know, he's still learning his way. He's still coming in every day to learn, to get better. And, you know, I'm sure over time he will become a great player for Ireland. But like I said, it's you know, it's not something that's going to happen overnight. And you know, maybe in another way, you know, other lads will have to start chipping in with goals. It's, you know, obviously it was good to see Alan Brown get one the other night. Yeah, listen, that's obviously something for the management to look at. But, you know, like I said, these lads will get better and hopefully can be a lot stronger going forward in the future.
And just the last one for me, Stephen, just on that point that you mentioned there about Troy Parrott, maybe a more positive note to finish on. You're seeing things that nobody else is seeing from him at the moment. A lot of confidence has been placed in him, or a lot of hope has been placed in him from a national standpoint already. Yeah. Is that hope well placed, in your opinion?
From what I've seen, I think he's a really talented player, really talented, really good lad as well. You know, really down to earth. You know, he's come into Ipswich, really nice guy. Everyone really gets on with him. Works unbelievably hard in training and on the pitch on a Saturday. Has a good, great will to win. He's technically been very good since he's been at our place, from what I've seen, and has a good eye for goal. He's been really unlucky not to score more than he has for us. You know, but yeah, definitely one for the future that you'd expect to go on and have a good career. But like I said, he's still a young lad. He's still learning. Still comes in every day asking questions and wanting to learn, which is great. So yeah, definitely one for the future.
Stephen, good stuff. Thanks a million for joining us. Cheers.
Oh, no problem. Take care.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.